From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at regional and statewide news. A federal judge temporarily blocked the federal government from paying CARES Act funding to Alaska Native corporations. U.S. District Court Judge Amita Mehta issued an order yesterday finding that the tribes that sued to block the money from being paid to regional or village corporations were likely to win. The lawsuit was filed by tribes in the Lower 48 and Alaska. They argue that the corporations don't meet the federal definitions of Indian tribe or tribal government. Alaska's U.S. senators say they're disappointed. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the state's delegation worked to ensure the federal law used a definition of tribes that included the corporations.
This is not an issue of governance. This is an issue of making sure that those costs that have been incurred on the benefit and for the behalf of Alaska Natives to cover those related costs to the coronavirus can be reimbursed.
Senator Dan Sullivan says the corporations have missions mandated by the federal government beyond those of other corporations.
This definition was mandated by Congress, and I hope the district court gives as much attention to the ANCs as it does to some of the Lower 48 tribes who brought this lawsuits that have billion-dollar casino operations that nobody seems to be paying much attention to.
The judge only granted part of what the tribes were looking for. He didn't order the government to pay out all of the money that's being disputed to the tribes. Alaskans continued to see what's called community spread of COVID-19. That's when people contract the disease without knowing who they got it from. For State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink, that means it's no time for Alaskans to let their guard down.
If you couldn't name everyone you'd spent more than 10 minutes with in the last week, then you're probably spending too much time with too many people.
The state is tracking the three ways Alaskans can contract the virus: through travel from family members and other close contacts, and by community spread. Zink says the state must go 28 days without a community case to say it doesn't have community spread. That's far from happening. Community cases were found in Anchorage last week and in Kenai Peninsula Borough earlier in the month. And more communities could be found from positive tests that are still being investigated. When someone tests positive for COVID-19, the state wants to find out who has spent more than 10 minutes within 6 feet of that person. And those contacts will be asked to quarantine themselves for 14 days.
And so the more that you're kind of connecting to other people, the higher chances that you may ask to be quarantined.
These investigations, known as contact tracing, are done by teams overseen by state epidemiologists and include public health nurses and local community workers. There are currently more than 100 people doing that work for the state and for individual communities. While they have the capacity to investigate more cases than they are currently, the state is working towards having 150 contact tracers. As the state considers allowing businesses to reopen, it's focusing on robust testing as a way to keep coronavirus infections down. But there's a lot you can learn from testing data, besides just who has the disease. State researchers are working to understand where it is, what symptoms people have, and how to prepare for future outbreaks. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
To stop the spread of the coronavirus, public health workers must first know who has it. But there have been obstacles. State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink recently ticked off different things that limit testing.
It's the swabs, it's the having a clinician think to do it, it's having a place to do it, it's making sure there's no barriers to do it, it's the viral medium, it's the transport, it's the machine to do it on, it's the reagents, it's the little plastic parts of the reagent machine.
The state has made progress on several of those things she's listed. It's added trained staff in state labs, it's converted lab equipment to be used in the tests, and it's gotten more supplies, including having a manufacturer in Palmer make swabs. All of this has allowed the state to ramp up the number of Alaskans who are tested and expand the definition of who should be tested, basically anyone who has any symptoms of the virus. As far as how many tests that's going to translate to in Alaska, Zink basically rejects putting a number on it.
We don't have a set goal. Our set goal is to keep Alaskans healthy, and we will test whatever we need to do to get there.
The number of tests of Alaskans has increased each week, reaching more than 4,000 the week beginning April 19th. Zink says the state labs can handle more than 7,000.
The goal is to really make sure that we're testing broadly and widely across all populations and all regions in our state.
There are three types of places where that testing is taking place: state labs in Anchorage and Fairbanks, commercial labs in the lower 48, and hospitals and clinics. The state and commercial labs have increased their capacity and speed in recent weeks, while the hospitals and clinics have come online as a new source for testing. Starting this week, all public health nursing clinics are scheduled to offer the test free of charge. The state has worked out deals with Fred Meyer and Kars to begin offering tests in tents outside their stores, and it's aiming to ship more test kits to rural areas. Right now, Alaska has the lowest rate of positive tests of any state. Baron Gilley directs the state public health labs.
Here in Alaska, we lucked out, I think so far, with relatively very low numbers of positive COVID and even fewer fatalities. So that's very good.
Gilley says testing will be crucial to answering basic questions that scientists are still struggling with.
Well, I think it's very important because we are nowhere near done with this thing. And because this is a brand new disease, we have no idea how it's going to behave.
Gilley points out that we don't know how long COVID-19 patients maintain immunity once they recover, or even if the disease can return after hiding in the body, like shingles and herpes.
We don't know. So the more testing we can do, with the more people to get a good picture of this, and the thing is, if we can catch people early in their course of the disease, we can sequester them, limit their interaction with susceptible folks, and you know, just keep it as much as at bay as we possibly can.
Gilley sees potential in using blood tests in the coming months to get a better sense of what share of the population has contracted the virus.
Those are these big question tests and studies that are done usually after the fact so that we can be better prepared for the next time it happens.
For example, if there is another increase in cases in the fall, the testing the state is doing now will allow it to know more then. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Officials have reopened a portion of the 92-mile road into Denali National Park and Preserve to public access. Earlier this month, the park, citing travel restrictions imposed by state officials in response to coronavirus concerns, closed public access to the road. The restrictions have since been modified, and the National Park Service said Tuesday the road will be open to mile marker 12. The agency says further opening of the road is expected as conditions and staffing allow. Park Service officials say they're considering ways to offer more access to private vehicles this summer. And a small library in small town Alaska is closed, but keeping kids connected in even the most remote communities as they become further isolated during the coronavirus pandemic. A popular children's story hour lives on thanks to the AM radio station, whose broadcast can reach homes with often unreliable internet. A librarian from the Homer Public Library reads books to preschoolers through a partnership with station KBBI. The program shows how radio broadcasters have served far-flung Alaska communities for decades, chronicling their histories and cultures. It's also one way the nation's libraries are dealing with closures during the pandemic. Taking a look at the weather, it's currently about 46 degrees with light rain. Tonight, more rain, low around 44. Wednesday, showers with a high near 46. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Madeline Baxter.